I think a valid high-level interpretation of today's readings from 1 Samuel and the Gospel of John, I might leave the epistle for another day. From 1 Samuel and the Gospel of John, I think each tell of an obedient response to a call from God. They each look very different, but essentially, arguably, that's what's going on. But that's only a part of the story, because each and every call from God holds within it the most significant truth of our ongoing relationship with God and one another. And that is the truth of change and transformation. Whenever an angel or a messenger of God shows up in our sacred stories, we hear time and again, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Words of reassurance, which are nice given the understandable shock of direct encounter with God, but these are also words that say, change is coming. Change is coming, and don't be afraid. Revelations from God in all their forms ask for our response, for us to act. And our response will inevitably mean change is coming. In a world in which there is such great injustice, in a world in which division and conflict remain well fueled by fear and hate, in a world where so many are still denied a share of the gifts, the nourishment, the resources of this planet, I think we might all agree change is needed. But this dominant culture of ours resists change, in part because the status quo has long been set as the false alternative to an inevitable chaos. And so for many of us, preservation of the status quo, keeping things good and stable, becomes our duty. Change is softly welcomed, sure, and gently encouraged, but nothing too much and not too fast. Transformation is accepted as a part of our call as Christians, yes, but not overnight, surely. These things we're told. These things we have been told across the generations, these things take time. It's worth noting, I think, that neither Samuel nor Nathaniel hesitated, asking for things to slow down a bit, asking for some time to adjust and adapt, before having to accept a change to the way things have always been. No. God called, and they responded. Believing a pace must be set for change is a belief born of the comfort of privilege. For all who are suffering, all whose daily lives are diminished, inflicted, limited, and too often even lost, there is not a day to waste, not a single hour. Change is yearned for, it is begged for. Now, today, justice and love today, God is calling. And we are the ones called to transform not only ourselves, but the world around us, to bring justice, to love, When Samuel was called, it wasn't only his life that would be immediately and forever changed. When Nathanael recognized Jesus as Son of God, it wasn't only his life that would never again be what it had been just seconds earlier. Each would be changed, and that irrevocable change happened in a heartbeat. And this change would be witnessed and felt by the folks they each shared their lives with. Their friends, their families, their communities, the people they worked with. And it is right there, in those places, we are told time and again in the scriptures that the prophet and the apostle meet the most resistance. We're reassured. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And yet fear of change compels us to reject the apostle, to silence the prophet. As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose life we honor and remember, as he became ever more involved in disruptive acts of nonviolent demonstration and civil disobedience, he stepped further outside the comparative safety and stability of the academic and church worlds with which he was most familiar. His leadership in the Montgomery bus protest made him the target now of serious threats. Threats of violence, threats to his life. He writes of one night unable to sleep, pacing in his kitchen, desperately trying to figure out how to step back from it all without seeming like a coward and without letting folks down. He turned to God in prayer and said, "I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid." At that moment, Dr. King writes, he experienced the presence of the divine as he had never experienced it before. He says, "It seemed as though I could hear the quiet reassurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth. God will be at your side forever.'" Almost at once, he continues on, "My fears began to pass from me. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready," he says, "to face anything." For those of us shaped by the dominant culture, it is more often than not us which the prophetic voice must face fearlessly and with courage and with determination. It is more often than not us using weapons of rationality and reason who cut down the message of prophet and apostle. It is with a baseless faith in ultimate objectivity that the powerful, life-changing encounters with divine truth of the prophet and apostle are disbelieved and discredited. It is a dangerous faith in ideologies of all sorts that makes the actual lived experience of actual people, their suffering, their stories, and their truth secondary and insufficient to prompt healing change now. What would it be for us instead to listen and hear and to have the courage to believe and affirm an experience of life in this world which is not like our own? To believe it and to act on it. Act to bring justice. Act in love. What would it take for us to lose all fear of the changes that are needed in the name of justice and love? We may not choose it, but fear, Dr. King reminds us, is a powerfully creative force. Rather than recoil from fear, Dr. King tells us to bring courage and love and faith, not distrust and suspicion and judgment, but to bring courage and love and faith to meet fear, to engage with it, our fear of change, our fear of conflict or challenge, our fear of reprisal or punishment, of disruption or discomfort. It is our courage, our love, and our faith that transforms our fear into right response. There is large-scale systemic injustice in our civic, national, and global realities. And also, there is directly encountered injustice on a personal, real-life lived scale. Injustice experienced at the individual level, within families and workplaces and communities. In the words of Dr. King, the time is always ripe to do right. God is calling. How will you respond?